cool down, relieving stress from the weekend. It's always stress for me.
Not just us, because we're able to talk about it, but we have our fans at home who can hear our opinions.
Cool down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cool.
Cool down.
That's what I'm talking about, James. That's
cool down. Did you press the right?
Yes, I pressed the right button. It seems like Cillor's not pressing any buttons at the moment. Just in case you haven't noticed, Cillor has been, I think he is using his hotspot. So Rob, that shiny fired wall, and his internet's working. That's his hotspot. Wonga Denga, Matt's been asking some hard questions. You guys lost in the weekend to Spurs. What's the question you want to ask him, Matt?
Well, I was just, there was a promise made about a Foden haircut if Spurs beat Arsenal. And then it went and happened.
There was fine print. There was some serious fine print in that statement. So the league. I would have never taken a chance on the upcoming match. Arsenal's horrific. No worries.
It sounds like that clause that Aston Villa had for Grealish, trying to keep him there for another season, that 100 million clause. I think Wonga's got some sort of clause in there.
We know how that ended. He obviously left. So...
Yeah.
are you there? Are you surviving?
Hey, man, I'm trying, guys. You know, network can disappoint you at any point in time, and boom, here I am. Hopefully, you guys can hear me clearly, and I'm not acting.
That's getting better.
Nice. Yeah, that was convincing. Right, guys.
Don't do a Donny from the Beacon us.
Yeah.
Were you there, but you're not there?
The Donny van de Beek thing, though. Did you guys know that he was seen as a cheap alternative to Jack Grealish for Man United? That's why they opted for him, because he also had Champions League experience.
And they don't use him.
Ever.
What the heck? That doesn't make sense. I can't understand it. Yeah. I can't understand it. But anyways, yeah, I can't understand it.
That's the point.
It would be different if they used him.
The coach didn't want the player. The club decided.
Oh, I see.
The club decided on the player.
Yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just before we continue on, I just want to say there are 3 days to go until the Premier League starts, and we have created a fantasy league. So if you haven't joined it yet, the code is at the bottom, so feel free to join us. And obviously, let's see what you got. Let's see if you know more football than what Wonga does.
Doubt it.
Right, so time for the big news. It was obviously Messi going to PSG. The move finally happened and materialized, and it happened very fast. I want to hear everyone's thoughts. And also, this news came out while we were recording last week, and none of us took note of it. We all thought it was like hypotheticals up until we ended the show and all the links were sent to us. So anyway, Matt, let's hear your take first.
I think, you know, it's for him, it matches what his ambitions currently are. I think he still wants to play Champions League football. I think he wants to be in a side that's going to be able to maximize his skills. He's getting back with some players he's played with, people like Neymar. I don't know if it's official if Mbappe is still going to be staying at PSG, because I know there's been a question mark about him. It would be fantastic if he does stay to see those three together, Neymar, Mbappe, Messi. I think that is an incredible front three, which obviously, surely PSG are looking to the Champions League with that move. They must be thinking this. It's if they can't do it now, what do they have to do? You know, how many more animals do they have to slaughter in some sort of ritual sacrifice in order to win the Champions League? So I think it's going to be really interesting to see the Champions League version of PSG. Maybe slightly disappointing as fans of the Premier League. It would have been really awesome to see Messi there. And maybe in some ways you could argue he's maybe taken an easier option, because PSG don't have as tough a league time as maybe some other clubs, but they moved fast. You know, PSG also, they like a bit of free business this window. You know, how many players have they got in on a free now? Yeah, Donnarumma went there on a free.
Yeah. Good players.
It's crazy. Yeah, so it's a pretty, and I saw that obviously means that it looks like Pogba's not going to be going to PSG, because apparently they only like players who are free, and Man United want that to be more of a transaction, which I think is good news for United.
I think if Cillor's internet connection was smooth, we'd be seen smiling with that comment. That's all I'm saying.
I think the most important thing guys, is if you can hear me, guys. You know, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
If you can hear me. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
It's touch and go. Oh, it's touch and go, but good. I'm not sure. I'm just gonna say, we know you're a good actor. We know you're a good actor.
But
yeah, keep going.
No, what I will say about this move though is that I would have liked to see in a top three league. So you know,
yes.
La Liga or going to a Premier League side. That would have been tougher for my team, Man United. But it would have been great to see Messi in the Premier League. You know, doing it on a cold night. You know, in I don't know, Wolverhampton. What is it now? Cold night way? Is it Norwich Stoke? Where's the cold night now? Cold night Newcastle. A cold night Newcastle. So I would have liked to see Messi in a cold night at Newcastle. It'll be exciting to see him with Neymar again, and yeah, if Mbappe does stay, it'll be exciting to see him as well. The business that PSG has done has been phenomenal. But I think obviously the wages that they are paying are probably high, very high, because I didn't know that Neymar was already top three highest paid players in the world. So now you're adding
it's 25 million pounds a year. It's 25 million pounds on a 2-year deal, and then with a third option to extend, where he'll get a sign-on fee of 25 million pounds. So in total, I mean, do the math. It's 75 million just straight to Messi in his pocket. And that's after tax, by the way. Sorry, as you were saying.
Yeah, no, you see exactly. So you can already see the numbers are crazy. You know what I mean? The fact that he's getting those numbers after tax. It says all you need to know about the transaction itself, and it's great money for him. And I think Man City did want him, but because he heard that Barca are going to sign him on an extension, thought, okay, cool, let's now press on Grealish before this starts. And Pep is like oh damn it. Could I have gotten my boy? You know, so I think the different piece.
All right, we're struggling there with Cello Wonga. You might as well just follow up onto what he's saying. I mean, like you said, Guardiola, could he have gotten his boy?
Yeah, I think if Guardiola had known, definitely he would have, definitely.
Also, why is this even a picture? The director of Golan's TV there, that's interesting. Look at that.
that does raise questions.
Anyway, sorry, Wonga, as you were. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no,
amazing. Shout out to Tapelo, who's joined us for the first time.
Hey.
I don't know who told you.
What up, Tapelo?
You tell me. You tell
me. Yeah.
See, when he doesn't want to answer a tough question, he's just going to stagger it out like that.
Alright, guys, the question I've got about this whole Messi situation is, Pochettino, also, what can happen if you do leave Spurs? You land up with an M&M sort of situation, Mbappe, Neymar, and Messi. I mean, it just makes you think about who can.
Does the boss leave now as well?
Hmm?
Which boss?
No. It's what he's saying. It's Poch leaves Spurs and really, like, you know, falls upwards there, lands at PSG with this incredible squad. It's a dream come true for Poch. He's always going to have a place in my heart, obviously, as a Spurs fan, and I'm really happy for him. I really do hope he can go all the way this year. I really hope they have a lot of success because Poch deserves it. He's such a hardworking coach. He really takes the time to get to know the team and the fans, the whole structure around the club. He's just a fantastic guy. I think for me, the bigger question mark it leaves is, what does this mean for Barcelona? I mean, they seem to be unraveling.
Yeah.
I saw today Aguero's out for 10 weeks with an injury sustained in training. So they really are, and even apparently they even
is
the
it
signings
a genuine
they have
injury?
For him.
Is it a genuine injury? I think
I don't know. Maybe
really
we got.
That's
I think it is, but I don't know if it's just a training injury or if he saw what's going on around him and he just punched a wall one day, just walked into the box of training, which is just like, you know, puts himself out of commission. But
it was that day. What was it? There was like a 24-hour period where his agents were doing the best they could to try and get him out of the deal, and I think maybe that's where the injury occurred. He smashed that wall during that time, and the agents went, Look, nothing's happening. You got to stay.
Yeah. But I think Barca have got a serious problem on their hands. I mean,
hey, welcome back, Cello.
I'm back. I'm good, guys. Yes. Technology, they came back for me.
Did they bring you your internet? They brought you your internet.
Yeah, guys. Whoever was complaining in the community WhatsApp group, they made sure, man. They made sure. That is probably clicking like 50 million times and saying, why doesn't this thing work? You know what I mean? So, yeah, this wasn't that long, man. Hey, it was a bit painful here that I couldn't hear you guys, and you guys probably could hear parts of me. You guys
and see parts of you.
You guys probably thought that I was going to PSG myself. You guys thought they were signing me as well. I am not.
No. We're never in fear of that.
I have not signed a free transfer to PSG as yet, guys. We are still sorting out my personal terms. I would like a sign-on bonus, and a couple other things.
Okay, let's start with the Wi-Fi. Let's fix the Wi-Fi, and then we can talk about other things. Yeah, but I do want to say this though. Like, if you are ever in doubt of not trying to do something, I mean, the fact that we are trying to attempt a live stream show in South Africa with poor connectivity issues, I mean, anything is possible. Right, Wonga, I was saying the Pochettino thing. The question I wanted to ask about Pochettino inheriting these players and the squad that he has. For me, the fear is the question is going to be asked whether or not he's a good enough coach. But in this sort of situation, we've seen at Barcelona and a lot of the time, when you get these sort of players, the coach tends to fall in the background and it's more the players just going out there doing their job. So I've got big worries for Pochettino in terms of whether or not it plays out for him the way in which the club expects it to.
I don't think Pochettino is a good coach. Like Matt said, I don't personally think you'll have a problem.
Do you think Pochettino is a good coach?
No, but
he is. I agree with Matt. He is a good coach. No.
I was about to say, we're coming from the guy who's got Arteta. Ooh, that was going to be a bit,
yeah, no, I know my situation very well, guys. Trust me. I do think he'll manage them. I think, obviously, Messi, best player, one of the best players in the world. We can argue it, whatever. But I think he's a professional person. Same as Ronaldo. He'll probably be professional. He'll get in there. And I think Pochettino will be able to manage. I mean, look, Pochettino did not win. If I'm not mistaken, they didn't win the league last season. They lost to Lille, and he still had a decent squad. I think, I mean, Messi, looking at what he's done at Barca, I mean, the last time he scored less than 30 goals, he probably couldn't walk. But like, I think definitely he's going to probably put in another 30 for them, at PSG. And he's just that good. He'll just do exactly what Poch wants. They'll have to play around him. I don't think they'll have much of a problem, really. It'll be a clean win for PSG.
But it'll be interesting to see how many fans PSG get now, guys, because already...
I think they're going to be massive.
They're already an attractive club. I, for one, have always liked their kits. Their kits have always looked good and so on.
Yes.
And I think now, even more, more people are already talking about buying their kit, their away kit, the one that's got pink and white, whatever.
Because
white with the pink, because it looks nice. Now people are just going to be buying it. It's just going to sell out. It's going to literally sell out.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. I don't know if you guys saw the whole, you know, people outside the airport yesterday waiting, and then today obviously they were waiting again, and obviously they finally saw their man, and it's just crazy in Paris, guys. I think it's going to be a sellout crowd, and they're going to be international fans coming to watch PSG at the Parc des Princes. You know what I mean? You know.
But and I think that side of it is really interesting, because I saw a thing today that reckons Barcelona are going to lose as much as 160 million in income because of Messi leaving, because of the merchandise they sell related to him, which is huge. You got to think about that, what that means for PSG, and also Barca, who are already cash strapped. I don't know if they can afford to just drop 160 mil out their balance book. So I think that's side of the game. I think it kind of slips under the radar. We don't realize.
No, that's true.
But like
true.
Even like what you're saying, Matt, in terms of the damage that Barcelona, like what in terms of looking at from Barcelona's point of view, I think when you hear how Messi leaves the club, you're just trying to think to yourself. I mean, okay, look, there's definitely people that have been paid to to know about these formalities in the league, when you should be signing contracts, when they, especially when they should be able to sign players. And for me, I don't know, I felt like it's very careless to not, to lose a player so big on such a small technicality. Shouldn't someone have known, or is it something that just came up this year? Or
Pillow knows the details of this. He knows how this all unfolded.
It is Jose Bartomeu's fault. The former president, it's his fault. The financial situation that Barca are in is because of the former president. Firstly, Griezmann gets 800,000 euros a week. 800,000 euros a week. Mm-hmm. Then De Jong gets 400,000 euros a week. You know what I mean? De Jong was probably getting 50,000 euros a week at Ajax. And then now you literally... Yeah. What is times 8, guys? Well, Matt, you know English better than me, man. What is it to multiply something by 8? You're not quadrupling your salary. What is what times 8?
Octupling? I don't know, something like that. Octupling. Octupling.
Octupling. I was wondering why it's like, you know, English. I was like, bro, where's he going with this math question?
That's what I said.
So I said,
did he finish?
So you're octupling his salary by giving 400,000 euros when he was getting 50,000 euros at Ajax. You know what I mean? And there's other players who are also getting ridiculous amounts of money. Milan Pjanic is getting 300,000 euros a week. So all of these players, right, is that Barca's salary cap is too high, Wonga. You know what I mean? So cool.
Yeah.
Even if Messi took a pay cut, right, they are still over their salary cap. Because what's happened right now is that La Liga has changed their rules for these salary caps. They've brought in these salary caps so that teams cannot obviously spend more than what they make, type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to make, it's a percentage of your revenue that you can spend as a salary. So obviously now they've brought
that, and that's already skewed, by the way, because we know that Real Madrid and Barcelona receive more than the rest of the league. So the salary cap, again, it's to that concept we spoke earlier. It favors the bigger side as it is. But it just shows you how they've abused the system, yeah?
And this new season, this season is the first season where it's equal broadcast rights. So La Liga's always been skewed, as Claudio said it. So now this new season is broadcast rights like the Premier League, equal across each team. So obviously each team will get the same amount and so on. But then also there's another part is this whole CVC deal, this new private equity company that's coming in to take 10% of La Liga's share. So they're gonna put in money into La Liga, and then each club is gonna get a certain amount of money from this whole deal, but La Liga tried to force Barcelona's hand and said, you guys can register Messi if you sign the CVC deal. So Laporte said that I'm going to put the club ahead of Messi. I am not going to sign this deal, and that's going to mean that we can't sign Messi. And that's what he did. He didn't sign the deal, and that meant they couldn't sign Messi. Mm. So their condition was, you can sign Messi if you sign the CVC deal. So you will see even now today that Real Madrid are taking La Liga president to court and taking CVC to court as well. So Barca and Real Madrid are on the same side with regards to this whole deal, and saying that they don't want to be a part of this whole CVC deal because they feel that they weren't properly consulted and so on, and it's not beneficial for them in terms of how much they're going to get, because each team is going to get the same amount of money. Each team is going to get, I think, about 2.3 billion euros for this deal. So they don't feel it's just and fair in terms of this deal, and obviously they still want the Super League.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Madness. So it's madness, man. It's madness. But hey, man, I think the big question
around the Super League. The one thing I want to talk about, obviously, Kuketsu saying, you know, they're not getting the fans, but they're definitely selling the jerseys in Paris.
She's a Barca fan, so. She's trying to speak for all Barca fans. I know there's definitely a lot of Barca fans that are going with him to PSG because there were Man United fans that left Man United. Okay, they didn't leave Man United. They just cut themselves in half, and then they left some of themselves in Manchester, and then the other part went to Madrid. So I think that's what's going to happen to some fans.
I think it's going to happen to a lot of fans. I think that's going to be most of these Barcelona. I mean, are they really going to stick around and watch Memphis Depay lead the line there at Barcelona? Come on, let's be honest. I think that's the question. But what I want to talk about is now they're selling these jerseys. Legal. I mean, they're going to benefit greatly, especially from a broadcasting perspective. People want to see this unfold. But the question is, this is going to be a stroll in the park for Paris now, for PSG. Is it really going to be that interesting? I mean, if I'm Pochettino and my mandate is to win the Champions League, I would rest Messi for most of the games and then whip him out for the Champions League and be like, bro, we all know that's what you want. Let's just, you know, we'll use the league as warm-up games. Am I wrong in saying this?
Well, I think there'll be pressure on them in the league because they didn't win last season. I think if they'd struggled last season, it'd be a different story. But they finished second. It was a big upset. And I think, so in that regard, I think Poch and PSG have a big task on their hands. I think there's that added pressure. They've now got Messi as well. If they don't walk the league and, I would say, win the Champions League, there'll be a lot of people saying this constitutes a failure. So I think that there is a lot of pressure there, more than there was pre-Messi signing. So I don't think he can afford to necessarily rest him a lot. I think he's going to have to manage him because he's, you know, you can't just play him every minute of every game. But I think that I don't think that, certainly in and around Paris, there's not going to be a sense of, oh, don't worry about the league, we'll concentrate on the Champions League. I think they're going to expect, much like Barca did every season. You know, Barca expected to win everything every season, you know, and I think it's going to be the same at PSG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question I've got you for Mbappe, though. Is this a good move for him? Because we know he's been looking, he's been tempting other, or being tempted rather by other clubs, or the idea of playing somewhere else. This Messi thing, does it keep him there for a little while longer, or is it actually going to hit him in terms of progress?
For me, if PSG can afford him, that's the first thing. If they can afford both, then we say, does Mbappe have the choice of staying? And if he decides to stay, I think that'll be a good decision for him. If you're looking at Messi, he's not just a goal scorer, he's also a person who assists. We saw, and I think the way Mbappe plays as well, if they can all be clicking, all the three of them, they'll get a lot of goals. Messi, Neymar, in the past have succeeded in a trio up front, and Messi's done it probably his whole life, and he's changed people around him, and he's still managed to keep those goals above 30. And assists as well, probably over 10 per season. So I think if Mbappe stays, he's definitely going to be scoring more goals if he puts the ball on target. He'll get more opportunities, that's for sure. In the French league.
Yeah, but that's from an immediate football sense, right, for this season. He should be doing that because of the players he's playing with. But for me, from his career perspective, what I'm asking you guys, he's missed that penalty, that crucial penalty in the Euros, ultimately cost France. We know he's not the full article yet. He's now playing with arguably the GOAT, one of two GOATs. Hypothetically, he's already got the other players in his squad. In terms of a young player and psychologically moving forward, is this a very big thing for him, or does he need that challenge in a different sort of space to be his own man? You know what I mean?
I think he does. I think he does. Not this season, not this coming season, though. I think, as a player, man, I think you always want to play with the best players in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But also, you want to also go on your own path. And I feel that Mbappe stays at PSG another year. Real Madrid try and lure him and already say that, okay, cool, your dream has always been to play for Real Madrid. Come through next season for a free transfer. We give you a huge salary package at Madrid, and then you can be our main guy. You know what I mean? And I think he's already got a position on the left wing at Madrid that is kind of unchallenged, if you think about it. You know, I don't think anyone has taken control of that left wing position that used to be occupied by CR7. So I think that Mbappe stays another year and then moves along. I think, guys, this team is—it's not that there's going to be egos, right? Because I don't think that Messi ruffles feathers and so on. But I think that Messi and Neymar—they already have a great bromance going on, and I think that is cool. They can stay like that, and then Mbappe can shift on after a season. You know what I mean? I think it's just ridiculous.
Could you imagine being Poch? They're not doing what he's asked them to do at halftime. You got Ramos there, you got Donnarumma there, you got Messi, Neymar, and they all just look at you and say, "No, what do you do?"
No, but they can't.
I think they're professional. I think they've won what they've won because they listen. Yeah. You know, and I don't think. I think it's very rare that you get instances of open revolt from a squad towards a manager. I mean, look, Newcastle was still listening to Steve Bruce last season. I think it takes a lot for players
if Nick was here, they'd say, you know, they were listening to the assistant.
But I think the point is there'll always be someone in the dressing room they're going to listen to. It's the structure of the thing. You listen to your manager, you do the job. It might be a different story if results start to really turn, but I think week in, week out, if things are ticking along, they'll listen to him. And I think also, you know, don't forget, as much as, you know, Poch didn't win anything at Spurs, but he's a very respected player. He had a very good playing career. He played at the highest level in Spain. They'll know him by reputation. He is also Argentinian, so that Messi and him are going to get along in that regard. I think there's going to be a lot of mutual respect there. And he is, from all accounts, a very good manager, very good coach, and gets the best out of his players. Very good at building that bond. He definitely did that at Spurs. You saw the camaraderie that was developed amongst the squad under him, and how easily that can be undone under someone like Mourinho. And I think in that regard, they'll respond to him, and it gives him an opportunity to really kind of show what he can do if he's got sort of, you know, if you put the cheat mode in on Football Manager, that's the squad you're going to build at PSG. So he gets to show what he could do.
Could you imagine downloading Football Manager for the season? You would just start at PSG and try to win the Champions League.
Exactly.
What's your budget? And imagine still having like an extra £100 million on top of the team that you have.
Yeah,
like
a transfer budget, because all these players have come for free. So it's a huge win for him. I think it is a massive test of all involved, not just of Poch. I think of the entire squad. This is a big test of, can you live up to the hype? You know, they've been brought in on this as a huge amount of expectation. Everyone's going to be talking about them going into the Champions League. No one's going to – there'll be other teams that are there and bouts, but people are going to be saying, PSG, surely this is the year they do it. And similarly to what happened to Juventus with the first season they had Ronaldo, everybody was like, oh, this must be the year. This year they're going to turn it around. They've gotten so close before. Now they've got Ronaldo, they're going to get over. And that expectation isn't always a good thing. So I think that'll be an interesting dynamic in the Champions League. And it does, like we've said, it poses a lot of questions about what does this mean for Barcelona in the future? Has the Premier League missed a trick? It's been a while since you could argue that the best player in the world was playing in the Premier League. And I think that's potentially another, you know, slight damage to the brand, the quote-unquote best league in the world. So it's a lot of interesting permutations out of this Messi move.
Well, fair enough to Spurs. They were the one club that did try in the Premier League.
Where's the facts about this? I heard you guys speak about it when I still had Wi-Fi issues, and I wanted to scream and say, what nonsense is this? Because
it's as factual as anything else on the internet. I read about it. Apparently, there were only three clubs that officially contacted Messi's representatives after it was announced. It was Atletico Madrid, PSG, and Spurs, which I think it must have been endearing. You know, the champions of the league.
And you're leaving, just taking a cheeky bit there, going, oh my God. He's like, you know, that's the ego of the man, to be fair. Yeah. He thinks his name's up there. He thinks he can get his phone call.
Can you imagine, though, Messi's agent having a word with him? Like, so we've had a couple of offers. So It's the champions of Spain, Atletico Madrid. Want to go have a go, do the tough second album. They'd like you to be their front man. PSG, they want to be favourites in the Champions League. They want you. And then there's this club from London. Not that one. Not Chelsea.
Not Chelsea.
Spurs.
You would have gone again?
And what are they offering? What are they offering?
He would have been like, ¿Dónde está biblioteca? Where's the library?
It would have been fantastic. I think it, you know, as much as it's funny that Spurs went for it, I'm surprised that no other Premier League club at least picked up a phone. You know,
Man United put forward 50 million, I think, €50 million. And I think, yeah, I mean, Messi wanted 37.5 a season, or 35 a season, whatever it is that he's going to get now. So
he was forcing that. He's like, if you want to play in Newcastle, you better be paying me at least £50 million
more.
And the thing is
that I think Man United want to mess up its structure, wage structure. There's a lot of things that Man United are trying to change about themselves as a club. And I think one of the things is to make sure that we are not doing Sanchez money ever again, where we're doing Sanchez is if you think about the second highest paid player, Sanchez earns double that the second highest paid player in the team. So that never made sense, because it resulted in an issue where Rashford and Martial said, hey man, we play better than this guy. We gotta get, you know, the money. So imagine now Messi comes in at that amount. Pogba would have asked you guys, are you guys, where's my money? Give me the same, guys, or just offer me the same.
Yeah.
Or offer me 30% less than Messi, and it always happens in football.
For once, I think United would have had a leg to stand on. They would have been like, Pogba, sure, where are your Ballon d'Ors?
Yeah, man, but I feel that Adidas should have helped Man United to get this over the line.
I agree with you.
Because Man United is the second biggest club that's sponsored by Adidas after Real Madrid, so it's an easy win for them. Or you can argue as Bayern Munich as well, but we've got more revenue, and just literally place him, Man United comes to Man United, Adidas signs a check, says, guys, we'll cover half the salary. Let's go. Let's make it happen.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but that...
Guys, I just want to talk about, we're going to move on here, the Grealish Man City move. I know we spoke about it last week, hence when the Messi sort of story broke. But what I want to ask you guys with regards to Grealish is this move a good one for his career? Or should it be, because he came out recently now saying Messi, saw him in the press conference, him crying. He's like, he cried at Aston Villa too when he left it. But he's also come out like wanting to go to Man City. So is this the right choice for him in the next steps as a 26-year-old Premier League footballer being regarded as the most expensive English transfer in history?
It's hard to judge this early on. I think we're going to have to give it a season or two. It's like the same with the Sterling move. When Sterling first went to City, there was a lot of question marks. Is this the right thing to do? You know, has he done it for the right reasons? Is this going to benefit his career? I think now we can look back on it and see, on balance, Sterling's done very well out of that move. Moving to City was exactly the right thing for him to do. And I think the test is going to be if Grealish can keep his performance levels up for the over the course of two seasons. Does he still kind of become a linchpin, an important part of the team? Does he play every week? Is he still creating as many chances? And I think it's very hard to say. I think he's made the right move in the sense that the easy thing to do would be maybe to stay at Villa and not take those risks. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, he would have been a club legend. You look at like some Mark Noble, Steven Gerrard. It's okay to stay at one club and do the best you can. But I think there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for.
I'm dying at the list of names that you brought out.
Well, it's one like club man,
putting,
you know.
Like you're putting Mark Noble as doing the same level.
In terms of staying at the same club and becoming a club legend. No, and it's a similar thing, because if you think about it, Gerrard could have left Liverpool earlier on in his career for Chelsea and maybe would have won more. And there is always that question mark. I think we can all agree Gerrard probably did the right thing. I think he had a fantastic career. He's an absolute legend at Anfield, all of that. And similarly, Grealish could have done the same at Villa and would have been no harm done. I think he's taken a step where he's decided, what if I could do that little bit more? What if I could achieve and become the central player at a club that's winning stuff every year? And I think that's there's nothing wrong with that. But we won't know if it was the right move for maybe a year or two.
You've got some answers here. You've got some sure. answers you've got to give out to this question. Was that a jab at Steven Gerrard? If so, it's time for you to leave, Matt.
I mean, if you feel like Steven Gerrard staying at Liverpool is an insult to him, maybe you need to leave.
It was the comparison to Mark Noble. That was the jab.
That killed me.
I stand by my words. I didn't say... I wasn't comparing them as footballers or as dudes, you know.
Silly situational. The one thing I do want to mention about this Grealish move, in terms of if we're going to compare it to where Kane's at right now, Spurs and Levy, you know, firstly Levy being ambitious enough to try and get Messi, that also shows the kind of man that Kane is dealing with. But the difference of this Grealish move was there was a clause in his contract that said that he had signed previous season. It was a 100 million clause. Now, the situation caused conflict between club and player was the fact that the club had the clause. It was a secret clause, which to the rest of Europe is illegal, but not in England, said it was expiring on the 7th of August. So they were trying to hold out until then. They had even made offers. They had called. So the bid was made on the Friday, which was the 6th. They didn't choose to accept it. Despite having the agreement with the player. They then spoke to Man United, said, listen, is there a player swap deal? They also then tried speaking to Real Madrid, is there a player swap deal? One of the main concerns for them giving this player to Man City was for the fact that they want this league to remain competitive, arguably, but it could also just be a greedy situation where they're trying to get better players.
I never knew all of this, man.
Yes, but the other kicker to all of this was the players that they signed pre-selling Grealish was your Buendia, the guy that was targeted to go to Arsenal. Those players were sold the story or the project, so to speak, that Grealish would be there next season. And now the lad is gone. So I'm curious to see how this is going to affect.
They did Aguero on him.
Yeah, they charged
him. You.
They did an Aguero on him.
Those are some key factors out of this. So I'm
Come back.
Will this affect Villa, guys?
Yeah, I think it will, man. Like, guys, that is Steven Gerrard type type level player that's leaving a club. You know, I mean, if Steven Gerrard had left Liverpool all those years ago, I think they would have had a couple of hiccups.
Can you just correct that?
Steven Gerrard had left Liverpool, or Mark Noble had left West Ham, it's impossible to know the past. <don't you>?
That is true. He would have destabilized. Like,
they could have been. The pair of them could have gone to Chelsea, become a central midfield pairing that lived in history. We don't know.
I don't think Mark Noble was ever linked to Chelsea.
Mark Noble got West Ham back into the Premier League, guys. That is historic. No one's ever done that, guys. Gerrard even hasn't done that to Liverpool. But I'm thinking that Grealish, guys.
So now you're saying Mark Noble is better than Gerrard. We're taking it one step further.
Be between the lines.
I was just putting stuff out there, but you've gone and compared them directly.
Man. I don't even know what to say to this anymore. Off scripture. This is not okay. I mean, we are meant to be off scripture, but I don't like where this is headed.
No worries, man. No worries. Sorry. Gerrard will always be a legend, man. But I think, like Villa, man, I can feel that, listen, they had a great season last season, top 10 team last season. Definitely thought that they could push on into becoming a top 8 team. You know, they could compete with your likes of Leeds and Arsenal for that top eight, for that, and Everton for that number 8 position in the log. You know what I mean? I think, and even they could even pull in the Spurs into that top 8 discussion, you know. So they were there, and they were there, they were thereabouts. But, I think with this, they will struggle, but it'll be also good to see how Bailey does in the Premier League. I think he's done very well at Bayer Leverkusen. And then obviously Danny Ings as well is a proven goal scorer with Ollie Watkins up front, and Buendia has done well at Norwich and so on. So it'll be interesting, but yeah, man, it doesn't look good for Villa. And they look like they were on the up again, man. I think maybe they'll become maybe a number 11, number 10, but who knows? It's the Premier League, guys. No one said West Ham was going to come number 5, guys, and they did. Or six.
Yeah, look, I think you can't lose a player like Grealish without feeling it in some way. They've got a solid squad. They've got some fantastic players, like Celo said. But at the same time, I think there's going to be a big kind of question mark over how they adapt, especially if all of this is true around promises made to players and stuff. I think that's, you know, there will be a little bit of some noses bent out of shape about that. But again, they are all professionals. Like, no one promises you who's going to be there.
Matt, Jason justifying what you said there. Mark Noble is now the longest serving one club player in Europe after Messi left.
And those are the facts I was dealing in, is what I'm saying. You're very sensitive about Gerrard, which is okay. But what club players?
They don't make them anymore.
No, exactly.
Who are you talking about now? West Ham.
One club players.
Yeah.
They don't make them anymore.
Trent would love it. Trent is on the way there. He would love it. Let's be honest. If he could,
yeah,
he would.
Rashford as well is on the way there.
Oh, no, Rashford's on the way out.
It's easy to be a one club player at a club that wins stuff regularly, though. Let's also, like, Giggs doesn't really count in that discussion.
That's
if you think about
true.
It, because they were true. Like, would they have stayed there if they weren't winning stuff? So you got to look at players who could have, who chose to stay instead of moving for silverware.
Who didn't win the Premier League but stayed regardless? I understand why. Yes. Regardless of the discussion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Let's move on. We're going to move on. Gents, before we talk about the rest of the Premier League updates, we know the Premier League is starting again. If you haven't joined our Fantasy League, don't check it out. Let's see if you know more than Wonga. I know Kuketsu already agrees with you, Wonga. Let's see if anyone else knows more than him. But Wonga, Denga, Lukaku, Chelsea.
Hey, are we getting a prize? I heard there's a rumor about a prize for the win of the fantasy, guys.
Yes, there is.
I heard there's a prize. But
they get to dye Wonga's hair.
They get to dye Wonga's hair when Arsenal lose to Spurs. That's also a running bet for the season, by the way. If and when Arsenal lose to Spurs, Wonga has agreed to the fact that his hair will be bleached like Phil Foden's in the Euros.
Okay, that's great. That's dope. Let's do it. Yep. Let's make it happen.
But wait, does it still count? We're talking about the clauses. Does it still count if Kane remains at Spurs?
Look, I'll make it fun for you guys. Yeah, I was going to say if Kane was not there, but I'll make it fun for you guys. And I'll say, yeah, even if Kane is there or not, goodness me.
Get in, Wonga!
Yes. I don't know. Like, I just wonder if Wonga's going through something. Because of all of us to bet against who would lose against Spurs, I feel like Arsenal are the one that are least likely to be able to help you out of this one.
Maybe they would this time, I don't know. But look,
I think you just want a haircut and you need a reason. You need a valid reason to do it, in which case I'm happy to help you, Wonga. We're going to do this.
talking about that fantasy league, we're going to have to discuss the T's and C's, Selo, after this discussion. Yeah. Right, guys. Chelsea Lukaku, this thing. Mosa,
yes.
Like I said, he was...
I told him it's going to happen.
Hey.
He said, I could see it happening, guys. I could see this happening, guys. But yes. I think Mosa as well needs to put some respect on Lukaku's name, guys. I think
a lot.
As a player in Italy for two seasons, he's become a better player. Firstly, I think his creativeness has come through a bit more, and I think he's led the line for Inter, you know, to Inter being in the top four, to Inter then now winning the Serie A. It's a lot, guys. You know, Juventus was dominating Serie A for so long, and then now Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez, that combination was great up front. Lukaku was the best player in Serie A, over Ronaldo and other players. You know, he scored crucial goals, guys, and also for Belgium. He's been on fire for Belgium, scoring probably a goal a game. So I think, yeah, this price tag is probably justifiable. I think these are the prices that we are going for. If you're paying what you're paying for players like Timo Werner, who can't score a goal.
Definitely makes Man United fans sleep better at night, though. No?
Yeah, we're gonna get 4 to 5 million for the deal as well. So we get 5% sell-on clause from whatever Inter sell Lukaku at. So whatever the price is, we're gonna get. If it's 100 million euros, we'll get five million euros. So whatever it is, we get 5%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the whole thing, it's like Silo said, you could see it happening. It definitely was not out of the. Yeah, it's not a surprise. And the way that Timo Werner was, performing, I won't lie to you, I was very surprised that Musa wouldn't want a player like that in the team. And I wish Musa was here. I want to see him, when Lukaku starts, banging in those goals from sprints, from hold up play, from headers. We'll see what the response is then.
Unless what happens is Lukaku doesn't score, and then we know it's not about the players. It's something going on at Chelsea. Break strikers. And then that warrants its own investigation. What's in the water? What are they doing? Like, are they? Does the boot guy give them the shoes on the wrong foot? What's happening at Chelsea?
As the one who normally approves or signs off on all the conspiracy theories, that is on top of my list there. I think that's a decent shot.
We need to keep eyes on the striker situation at Chelsea, because they broke Torres. They've broken Werner. Remember, even Hernan Crespo went there a while ago, and he just couldn't score goals anymore.
Yeah.
So there's something.
Matea Kiesman could also struggled. Andrei Shevchenko also struggled.
They've papered over the cracks because Drogba can power through anything. You put him out there, shoes on the wrong foot, you know, blinkers on his eyes.
Even tape his one leg behind
his back, he's still scoring goals. Nothing stops him.
While his hairline's receding.
but this is a good question from Kuketsu in terms of what does it mean for Werner and Havertz.
Well, we know the first question. The answer for the first question. Yeah, Timo Werner is out. He's finished.
Yeah,
bench. The man he's eating that bench. Splinters in the ass.
But what Wonga said is quite true. Don't you think
he'll play
out on the left?
They'll have to. They'll have to because they've spent the money. And I think he might. It will definitely take the pressure off him. So if they do go with him and play him, it's going to be a good thing for him because Lukaku is expected to score the goals. He'll get into those good positions, and maybe we might see a better Werner as opposed to the pressure being him being the main man leading the line. So that's a possible thing.
Yeah.
They will have to do it. They will have to try and fit him into the team because they can't exactly just throw around £50 million for a guy and then flog him. Although there have been discussions in the transfer news with him going somewhere else. The question about Havertz, though, I don't think this is going to affect him much. I think that this is a quality player, in my opinion.
Yeah, Havertz is quality.
It's better for him. Now he actually gets assists instead of passing and balls just going wide.
That's true.
Yeah. Someone who can hold the ball, make runs in behind as well for him.
I think Havertz's best position is on the right-hand side, I think.
Excuse me, Percy. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad you weren't during this.
Hey, Percy.
Sorry, Wong. As you were, Senor.
Claudio.
We appreciate Claudio's, that comment.
As you can see, Claudio's not used to compliments.
He's just suffered through 20 minutes.
Liverpool fan.
Yeah, he's just suffered through 20 minutes of comparing Gerrard to Nobel. He'll take it where he can get it, you know.
crazy. No, thanks a lot, Percy. Thanks a lot, Percy. It's always good to see familiar faces in the comments there. But I think definitely Kai Havertz, he's shown that he's a very versatile player. He can play as a 10, he can play as a 9, as a false 9. So I think he's got a bit more going for him as opposed to Timo Werner, where Timo Werner didn't play well in the team. Kai Havertz played very well after he had COVID. So he got COVID and then took a bit of time to get back into the team. And then once he got back into the team, playing as a false 9, he did very well, scored the Champions League final goal as well. So I think he's sorted. But I think that Chelsea do need to sell players, guys. Bring in Lukaku, they need to sell Tammy Abraham.
Well, apparently they've sold him. Yeah. They've sold Abraham to Roma.
To Roma, yes, for 30 million.
Is he sold? I just read that it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. You're making a noise because you also want him apparently, so is that why? Is that why you're making a noise?
Is he sold? Hey, I heard.
Arteta is reliant on Wonga, yeah, and Wonga is reliant on his hair not being bleached. So, hey, there's a symbiotic relationship that is in play here.
Nah, I feel like Arsenal just feel like Arsenal, every time something big is happening, a player's about to get sold, they're like, hey, go send him a message so that they said that we tried to go for him, you know? Because it always ends up not us getting him. Let me think, you know, these guys are trying, they're working, but they're always late. Bro.
I think the PR person works overtime there at Arsenal. Sorry. Yeah, Matthew.
I was going to say, for me, the interesting question about the Lukaku move, I think it's a fantastic bit of business for Chelsea. I'll just stop by that. Like, I think he's going to really, he's proven quality. He knows how to score goals, and it's exactly what Chelsea need. What it will mean is that Chelsea might have to change their system a little bit. He's a very different player to what they've currently got.
Yeah.
In the way that he plays, his hold up play, he's far more direct than any of their current strikers in the way he approaches things. So I think they're going to have to slightly change. I do think Havertz will benefit out of that because of the way he plays the game and the way he draws defenders out. It will create space for runs behind, which even Werner could potentially benefit from if he's in the side as a winger. But it will mean they'll have to change the way they play from what they do now. And then that, for me, that asks questions of Chelsea's midfield. They might have to change the way they currently rely on Mount and Jorginho to kind of be the driving force of creativity. That might be a different equation in the coming season. So it'll be interesting to see how they adapt the entire system for that in order to cater for having Lukaku in. So it's in many ways very exciting for Chelsea. And I think it's good for the league. I think it's good for the league to have a few really competitive sides there. And I think Chelsea and United are definitely not lying down and they're not just rolling over and letting City walk away with it.
I think Salah's doing some research there. I do want to throw this out there, though. One player from Chelsea, if he is on the move, one player that I think would have a huge impact at Arsenal and Spurs and even Liverpool and United, technically, if given the opportunity, is Odoi. Callum Hudson-Odoi. I think his future is in doubt with all these moves. And the question is, right now, Wonga, why aren't you phoning Arteta to make this happen?
No, they can't afford him.
That's the thing. You know, you look at Arsenal, I don't want to go too much into it, but you're looking at Arsenal, you're just wondering what the heck are they doing with the money. I mean, you're getting 50 million, and then you can hear that they're putting, I can't remember who it was, but you hear that they're all willing to spend another 40 to 60 million, and you're like, what the heck? And the players they're going for, I don't know what they're trying to do. But anyways, in terms of Hudson-Odoi, I think, again, someone like him, same reason as, Hudson is still young, but no, I mean, he's been there for a while, you know, but
no,
I think he's,
he needs to
get game time.
He needs to be the main guy. He needs to either go out on a loan or be sold.
He needs to do a Jesse Lingard. He needs to drop down a bit, even on loan, go somewhere like a Palace or a Newcastle, get a load of game time, even a Spurs, guys. I don't know, because he might not play every week at Spurs, and then it's like, well, what's the point?
He should play every week at Spurs, in my opinion. A player like that, he should be. I mean, Spurs right now, it's difficult for... Like, right now, we know... If we're looking at... Let's assess Liverpool hypothetically from a distance. They're not spending any money unless they're receiving money. We're looking at Arsenal.
Even Liverpool.
Yeah. That's what I said. You'd be a good addition to the squad. But what I'm looking at, like, even Arsenal now... Arsenal's problem is, they can't get any players, all the players that they want. And Spurs right now, I've got a fear. Like, I know we were joking about the Messi phone call. You know, Daniel Levy tapping up Messi. But realistically... when they're looking for the players that they want, I mean, the good thing about these two clubs is that they are based in London, and that's always going to be the selling point for them. They don't need a Grealish, they've got London. But I think that's been the worrying pattern so far this window. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
Well, I think Spurs, I mean, if we end up holding on to Kane, which is still a big if, I think, you know, that City might be inspired by Messi going to PSG to pony up and pay the cash for Kane so that they can be competitive in the Champions League. But I mean, all the focus, I suppose, has been on the Kane deal, but they've actually also done some quite smart business. They brought in Romero from Italy, and he's a solid defender. He was their voted best defender in Italy last season. Brian Gill, who I really hadn't really heard of before we signed him, and I did a bit of research. He had a really solid season at Sevilla. He was part of the deal that saw Lamela go the other way. He's quite a very good left winger, left footed, very naturally skilled. Very similar to like an earlier version of Bale, you know, not to say that they're necessarily the same player, but you know, it is a bit of a gap.
Don't get too excited. Slow down.
I've got to give Wonga something to cheer about. And obviously they've been linked to a couple of other players. Spurs were linked with, along with a couple of other sides in England, to that Sabitzer guy at Leipzig. There was that bid for, Lautaro Martinez at Inter, which I don't think he wants to go to Spurs, but I think they've been kind of busy. Obviously, all the focus has been on Kane, but I'm sort of, today I was thinking about it, and I was kind of like, sort of for a little bit, a moment, sort of quietly optimistic. Like, if we did hold on to Kane, we're actually coming out of this window with a slightly stronger squad than we left. I'm still slightly worried about our defence, although I think that if Romero comes in and kind of takes control there, I think Sanchez and Dier around him will learn and grow, and they'll benefit from having that leader there. So I think, you know, I certainly feel better with Spurs squad than I would if we had Arsenal's one, for example.
I want to ask you another
question. I can really see the heat up in North London to see who finishes higher this season.
If Harry Kane leaves, there's no question. But if he's there, I can't say much.
Okay.
But if he leaves,
I want to ask about the leading thing, because Cole was saying, so if Man City don't get Harry Kane, if they don't, he thinks, she thinks, that Chelsea will win the league with Lukaku.
Yeah. It's a possibility. But
I don't know.
Possibility, but percentage-wise, in terms of possibility.
No, I think percentage-wise, you still have to back the...
Oh, yeah, there's Man United, yeah.
So you back the defending champion first. What's funny about that, guys? Wonderful.
United. He didn't even consider. Okay. You're forgetting Sancho went to United. Top corner there with the free kick.
I would rather have focus not on my club.
No, Celo, don't do that to yourself. Remember, just before the Euros, when we were talking about the dark horse of Turkey. Don't be the dark horse, bro. Because they went out in the first round. They didn't win a game. Let's not pretend.
That's you know, where are those guys? Where's Arjun and all of them, like, in terms of selling us that false dream? Who are Turkey, the dark horses?
No, but Aman sold Denmark for us, so at least. But what I do feel is that even though Man City doesn't get, even if they don't get a Harry Kane, I still feel that they are the favourites because they are the defending champions. So I put the defending champions as the favourites because they've added Grealish, a top 10 player in the Premier League. Okay, cool. They're probably going to have to let go of Bernardo Silva because it's been mentioned that he wants to leave. Atletico Madrid might sign him. So I really think that that Man City looks like the club to beat. Chelsea with Lukaku, yes, I can agree that they can definitely be in the conversation. And I'm not sure what's happening in Merseyside because AFCON is happening and that is still on the horizon. So losing your two best players to AFCON in the middle of the season, it's not going to be easy. So
I think let me tell you guys something.
It's a little
in 2 days, Yeah, okay, go ahead, Wonga.
I'll just a quick comment. Silo's saying that they're going to lose their top, their best strikers. Last season, it was their defenders, and they saw fire. Now, it's going to be the front three, and we'll see how they manage that. The people who can't put a ball in the net.
You need to sign some players. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Liverpool won't be doing well. I'm just saying that when those guys are gone, who is going to be there? Because I don't know who's going to be there.
So in terms of actual transfer activity, factually speaking, when we're dealing with Matt's facts, yes, I agree with you guys. When we're dealing with my facts, conspiracy facts, what Liverpool do have
things facts if we're calling my things facts. My things are facts. Your things are things. There's something else.
my things, there's still testament to the things that I say because they do come to fruition. Yours, like you're following the book, but sometimes, you know, where the book can only take you so far.
You're just reading tea leaves, man.
So what are you saying?
So what do the tea leaves say, Clark?
What I'm saying is, thank you. Thank you very much there. This is what I'll be saying. We've got Darren, who is saying the things. Just give me a second. I'm losing focus here with one hand. There we go. Jota is on fire this preseason, but the 12th man for Liverpool. However long that lasts, we've just played a friendly, and we can see the difference it's already made to the squad, like Liverpool playing at Anfield with fans. So, yes, we do need the players. And yes, realistically, challenging for the title, it's going to be a tough one. But I think it's going to be a big factor that we will have fans in the stands. That's number one. Number two, we've got Jota. He's doing the business. And we can see, judging what I've seen in the friendlies, he's going to be starting up there. And then Minamino also scored the next day. So we've got some players. We don't obviously have the caliber.
Yeah? But Claudio, you know all the teams have fans back, right? It's not something they've just given to Liverpool. Like you guys get a 12th man and everybody else must still be in an empty stadium.
Liverpool's 12th man is different and you know that. Don't even compare Spurs' 12th man to Liverpool's 12th man. Come on, guys. Are you being serious here?
So what happened between 1991 and 2019?
Yes. Because you had fans in the stadium.
Tell me that 18 years.
What was your 12th man doing then?
28 years. That 28-year span, where was the 12th man? For 28 years, you're telling me the 12th man couldn't be heard for 28 years.
Hey, there were things behind the scenes that weren't working as well then, and that's the fact.
So now, behind the scenes...
The 12th man is geared up. They're geared up. I think the people know. They're giving the 12th man energizer.
I just want to check how the facts work for you, Flavio.
But 28 years, the 12th man.
So the facts are that then the 12th man wasn't good enough to fix bad players. Now you're going to lose your best players, but the 12th man will be good enough to fix that.
We're going to lose our best players, but we're going to speak to the countries to make sure they get knocked out of AFCON. You know these things. That's all.
Just to answer Koketsu's question. There's been AFCON. Okay, let me just say CAF is a Mickey Mouse organization first and foremost because they used to. They used to always be a January, February tournament, right? And then what happened was they changed presidency and they moved to June. So they've been a June tournament for about maybe the last three editions. I think three or four editions. Yeah, the last three editions, I think they've been a June tournament in the off season. And then now they've gone back to being a June, February tournament. I don't know why they decided to go back to June, February because they've always had this issue of club versus country. That is why, like, a player like Joel Matip retired from international football when he was still a child.
Yes.
One of the reasons, because he
had to leave Schalke and then Cameroon wanted him to play and he just said, I don't know, I'm just going to retire. And also the administrative side of Cameroon was not good for him and so on.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've always had that club versus country issue. So you're going to have that issue again happening in January, February. And it's just a nightmare, man. It's just a nightmare because I think they should have just taken what they've done in South America. South American football leagues are a calendar year leagues. So the Copa Libertadores and their professional leagues are February to November leagues, but their continental competition is done in the off season. So CAF, where Egypt does a February to November league, they can still have CAF in the middle of the season. Egyptian league and other North African leagues can just take a break during June for a month and then continue. But hey, guys, maybe these things are too simplistic in nature, where most of your best players are playing in Europe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, but I agree with you, sir. I think they should Yeah, you need to consider it, because for a player, you need to consider everyone in the situation. And I think last time they met in June, and then it works for everyone that's playing overseas. The reality is, if you want good players, where are the good players going to play? Unless you improve our leagues, the good players are going to play in Europe, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's, like, the way they did it before was going well, and now you go change it back to create another mess. Because now these guys like Mane, as good as Mane and Salah are, if someone comes in and performs better than them, a coach, he's going to be winning. I know Salah and Mane are probably like on top of the game, but yeah, it's gonna try the guy. Or if he gets injured and the other guy starts performing, yeah, it kills the guy's spot in the team. I think you just need we need to consider these things. But yeah, I don't know why you'd make such a decision.
And I mean, yeah, I think going back to Kuketsu's comment, yeah, this is exactly why Celo and Matt are saying, you know, it's going to be trouble for Liverpool here. Losing a player like Wijnaldum and not replacing him, that is trouble in paradise. But we do have young players.
Don't you have all those guys sitting in the stands cheering it on? It won't matter if there's a gap in the midfield.
Can recall from, he's not going to
use their collective mind power to move the ball around the field like a hive mind.
And on that note, it's time to wrap up the show. So, we're going to end off with the final thoughts from Wonga, Matt, and Celo, and then we'll see you guys on Thursday. But let's hear these final thoughts, guys. They better be golden, like what you're saying there, Matt. It better be that collective goldness. Let's hear it.
Nothing golden for me. I'm just really, really worried at my team and where they're probably going to end up this season. I think we'll have... yeah, that'll be a final thought for me. I think Arteta is going to, as much as I like the person, not fired, but I think he's going to have questions. Arsenal fans are going to want a lot from him. He's definitely not going to be finishing. He's going to struggle to get above eight, I think, especially with what the other teams are doing. So they're going to ask, it's going to be a really tough season for him, I think, especially if you're in all those other cups as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be tough.
UEFA Conference League, League Cup, FA Cup, fighting for Premier League.
Minus one man in the stand, not 12 men.
10 men in the stand.
Nah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, look, for me, I think it's going to be a really competitive league. I'm really struggling to... I keep sitting down and thinking, who's going to come top four? Who's going to win? And it's really hard to decide who's looking good, and because there's so many sides of strength, and it's often we get to this stage of the season and it's clear there's one or two sides who have slipped backwards. Now, you know, maybe other than Liverpool, everybody's really strengthened. They're even, like, as much as I'm worried about Spurs losing Kane, Spurs have also made some smart signings. Arsenal, you could argue, have made some smart business in getting in Ben White, because it was clear they were struggling with it for a leader at the back, and maybe he's going to, be that strong voice. I mean, it remains to be seen if he could do it. I think they're still missing someone to partner with Partey. But all the sides have kind of done some good, but even Villa, for losing Grealish, they've also brought in some really smart signings. So I think there's some really interesting kind of stories that are going to play out. And I can't wait for it to be back. And it's going to be so loud. Can you imagine? Fans back in the stands. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, man. I think it's just going to be a great season. I'm excited for it. I'm not leaving my house this weekend unless you guys are hosting a party for the viewing of the games. But yeah, otherwise I'm going to be staying home. Excited for the Premier League season. Yeah, man. It's what I live for. It's what brings us together. But Man United just need one more signing.
When does it bring us together, Celo? When?
Tuesday and Thursday is 7:30.
Ah, good man. This guy, he just knows how to do it. He just, you know, sticks it in there. Man,
yeah, but excited, and yeah, as I said, Man United need one more signing, and then I'll feel that we'll win the league.
From my end, I'm just super excited that Thursday show is going to be the first pre-match mootie. The proper first pre-match mootie since the off-season's kicked off, where we're actually going to be covering the weekend's fixtures. So don't forget to join us then. We look forward to having you. And remember, if you don't know what to be
cool.
Be cool.